And when they finally whipped the British, they locked themselves in a room and they stayed there for months on end with the windows boarded shut with no air conditioning, none of the comforts of this old dance hall. So that the Federalists and others could argue about how we were going to set up a constitution.
You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on September 2nd, 2020, and continues in our series on the book of Genesis. Grab your Bible, turn to Genesis chapter 27, verses 30 through 40, and let's join Steve in the message.
That would begin with the First Amendment, the right of assembly and the right of free speech, the freedom of religion. We had the right to be Christians. We had a God-given, inalienable right to be Christians. And because of that, we assemble and we celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live our lives in covenant with God. A covenant that says no pestilence will befall us, and according to Psalms 91. That no weapon forged against us will prevail, according to Isaiah 54. That we'll refute every tongue that comes against us, because our heritage said so. That's who we are as a people. That's who we are as a nation. So when he told Jacob, nations will bow down and people will serve you, it's not because we're prideful. It's not because we're haughty. But I'm telling you, just like he told you about Nehemiah, in every church there needs to be a leader. In every town there needs to be leaders. In every state there needs to be leaders. In every nation there needs to be leaders. And on the face of this earth, some nation needs to stand up and lead. And that's our calling. When this nation dissipates, the whole world's in trouble. If you've ever read in the Proverbs, when the Lord is the God of the people rejoice. That's why this nation is necessary. This isn't about you. And this isn't about me. This is about God and his created earth, who set nations with boundaries and ordained and predestined their times to be sovereign with borders and with governments. That was God's plan from the beginning. And now for decades, we have walked by the wall. We have whole groups of people who claim to be Christians who won't study the Old Testament. If you won't read Genesis 27, then how in the world would you know what you've been promised by God? If you don't know what you've been promised, then the best you can do is quit cussing, stand still, don't make any mistakes so that you get on into heaven, because that's your promise. No, sir. My promise says that I'm going to live off the fatness of the land. That's why I haven't really gotten fearful yet. I'm not to the point in my walk and not saying somebody shouldn't be and this and that and other. Maybe someday I'll be borrowing beans and rice off of somebody that stocks them up. But my promise said that I'm going to live off the fatness of the land. The promise said that the dew from heaven, not only the rain, but the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, is going to sustain me during all this time. And that nations are going to bow down to me, you. And the ones who curse us, listen to me real close. Whatever person walks over the window of that Baptist church in Southern California and sticks a sticker on the door that says you now owe another $10,000 because we told you not to assemble. God saw the whole thing. He saw that uncircumcised Philistine. Listen, all you people in California that's watching tonight, you get you a little confidence from this. Because God watched that uncircumcised Philistine come over there with his little paper and his scotch tape and put that on your door. Because those people believe that God doesn't exist. Man, are they in for a heck of a surprise. My Bible said that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. If you don't know him today, you're not going to be able to pretend you know him later. If you're an enemy of my God, if you're an enemy of my country and my promise, then you're an enemy of my family. My God will curse everyone outside these doors that will curse us. Those trolls that have now found their way, when you find, you know, people said fame and fortune is when you get to like 1,700,000 people on Facebook. Well, we hit that. But I found out from a guy the other day, when you have really risen to the top in Facebook, they turn trolls loose on you. I didn't know what they was until I saw one. They have fake identities. They look like nice people. They're like the Wizard of Oz behind the screen. You know, there's a picture of a nice guy with a dog and a cat, and behind him there's a little dweeb somewhere saying dumb stuff on Facebook. Well, guess what? Cursed be everyone who curses me. Curses my family. And especially curses my God and curses my country. You see, I think this would probably preach to a bunch of pro athletes. Or to the BLM. Or to the Antifa. If you're cursing my country, you're cursing my God. Because this was fought for and promised by God and humankind. Cursed be everyone who curses. It's a crying shame that you can be hired to do a job like play college basketball or football. And all of a sudden, you just don't like America anymore. So you get to just walk off. Turn your back. It's the same as cursing. You better be careful. See, this doesn't get preached. You think any of this escapes the sight of my God? Are you crazy? He's watching the whole thing. And Leonard and I, we were talking back here in Robin a while ago. And y'all know how we are, but we embrace these times. You see, if you don't stir the bucket, the poop won't come to the top. If you don't get the poop to come to the top, you can't get the horse apples out of the bucket. That's what's happening. It's like Mark Case sat right here how many years ago. Prophetic guy, a seer from Mississippi. And he told us way back then, he said, the earth is being turned upside down so that God's church will be turned right side up. So we rejoice in that, and we find courage in that, and we find strength in that. So this was Jacob's promise, but look what happens. Now it happened as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob. This is verse 30. And Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, that Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Now Isaac's figured it out. He's been tricked. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, let my father arise and eat of his son's game that your soul may bless me. And his father Isaac said to him, who are you? He said, I'm your son, your firstborn Esau. Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, who? You see, this is his firstborn son. He's been a little tricked. He thought he already blessed Esau. It was actually Jacob. Here's the scary part in this whole thing. On the day that you enter into the heavenly realm of your father's house, how do you think that sound if he said, who are you? Huh? Who are you? Make sure that don't happen to me. He said, Isaac trembled and said, "Who are you? And where's the one who hunted game and brought it to me? And I ate all of it before you came, and I blessed him. And indeed he shall be blessed." See, these are shadows, foreshadowing, prototype, whatever you want to call it, of how this comes later when Jesus Christ comes to the scene. And we get brought into the presence of the Godhead, who is not only the Son, but is the Father, represented in the Holy Spirit who lives in us. When Isaac said, "Sorry, but I already said this once. It's done." Guess what? He already said this once. It's done. Not going to rewrite the book. He's not going to change his mind about his determined will. He's not changed the rules of the game or anything else. He's not going to fix this book to adapt to your lifestyle. He said it. And you don't get to take it back. You don't get to rewrite the script. It's all played out through the scriptures when Esau sells his birthright for momentary pleasure. And then we walk in on God, and he says, "Who are you?" "Oh, I'm the guy, Jesus, that traded his birthright, but I didn't really think you meant it. I thought you was just joking. I'm special. I'm entitled. It's what I got coming." That's what was so fun about the prosperity message back in the day. The name it, claim it, blab it, grab it thing, where we claimed prosperity as opposed to fought for posterity. Yeah. Come to Jesus. You're entitled. You know how much Jesus owes me? Not a cotton picking thing. You know what I'd like to have from Jesus? Is his nod of approval. Maybe one of these days. I don't need anything else. He's met all my needs according to his glorious riches. He's given me everything necessary for life and godliness. The promise is mine. He said, "I said this. Esau, I'm sorry, but I said this. And now it stands. It's irrevocable." And so he goes on here and he says, "And indeed he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me also, O my father." And he said, "Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing." And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Which, when the boys were born, Jacob means grabbing the heel of the one in front of you, the one ahead of you, which is kind of a deceitful thing. And Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright." No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He didn't hold a gun to his head. He didn't take anything from anybody. Esau gave it up. He said, "Give me a bowl of that red soup and I'll give you my birthright." It was a fair trade. I'm in the horse sale business. I know how this goes. You give me this, I'll give you that. Done deal. Don't call me tomorrow complaining about the trade. He sold his birthright. Have you sold your birthright? We talked about your birthright here several weeks ago when I taught on this very thing. How many of us were born into this nation and have grown up entitled? Grown up as as Americans. We're Americans. You'd know more about the Kardashians than you'd know about the 9 Supreme Court justices. Most Americans born into Americanism today can't even tell you how many stars are on your flag or who Betsy Ross was when there was only 13. So, who are you? You claim to be Christians. Do you know anything about the kingdom of God? Have you assimilated to the kingdom? Or did you just pray a prayer and blow some snot one day and now you're entitled? Come on, Dad. Come on, Dad, bless me too. I deserve it. I was born here. Come on, Dad. I don't want to be cheated out of this. I didn't mean to sell my birthright. I didn't even know what that even meant, Dad. Now bless me. Is that how we pray to God? Is that how we do? Or do we come with thankfulness and say, Jesus, I'm very thankful today because I'm a man who had no birthright. I'm a man who took life for granted. I'm a man who succumbed to the momentary pleasures. I'm a man who sinned, God, against you and my fellow man. Yet you said, and you not changing your mind, that all who come and ask for forgiveness, you are faithful, you are just to forgive all who call on you, to restore me and reconcile me to my promise. Bring me back into my blessing that my life's not cursed for my children and my children's children. Have you not reserved a blessing for me? Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, indeed, I've made him your master. And all his brethren I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son? You see, now Esau is on a journey of becoming very bitter, very angry. He's been cheated, been robbed out of something that he never had. Now, the authority has been given to Jacob. He said, now I'm going to give you your brethren. I'm going to give you. See, we don't, in Christian America today, we grew up in, not to pick on anybody, but if you came up in Catholicism, you learned a false, exceedingly demeaning source of kind of a way of false humility, a poverty mentality. Unable to learn for yourself, a powerless entity, not knowing who the Holy Spirit is within you, not knowing your authority and your ownership here in the earth. And so throughout church and Christendom now for decades, we've trained each other to don't be prideful. I'm not talking about pride. Don't get confidence messed up with pride. I had a lady come up to me last night. She said, have you always been like this? No, I used to be worse. I get mistaken for being arrogant. Believe me, I know from where my help comes. I know that I'm a mere ordinary man, and I know that God is absolutely God. But I also know there's not one millisecond of the day that He's not with me, and that He's for me. And He is not for those who are against me. That His voice will ring in my ears and these words will come up. That if you seek to destroy me, 1 Corinthians 3:16 or 6:19, can't remember which one, says, do you not know you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? If any man seeks to destroy you, I will destroy him. Make my day. I'm not being prideful or anything. I'm just very confident in who God is. What's wrong with that? That's authority. If you don't use your authority, you won't hold on to your blessing. That means you got to own it. If you don't own your blessing, you don't own your salvation, you don't begin to own what God has promised you, then somebody's free to come take it. And you know who's going to take it? Somebody that thinks they're entitled. Somebody that thinks they've been cheated. Somebody thinks they've got something coming that they hadn't paid for. They hadn't earned it. They hadn't bought into it. They haven't entered into it. They haven't surrendered to it. They're just going to take it. Anybody hearing what I'm saying? You better own it. You can't have my birthright. You can't have my blessing. I'm not going to do that. Esau knows that now. According to Esau's thinking, he don't have a future. If he can't be at the top, listen, you know how Esau could have stayed in the game? Been real easy. Father, truth of the matter is, Dad, that several months ago, I took some stew. And it set the course of everything in my life. Dad, I refuse to repent. I refuse to apologize. And now I'm getting what I got coming. But Dad, if you'll allow me, I'll serve my brother because you have blessed him. And I'll walk right behind him because he's going to go to higher places than I could ever get on my own. I'm going to submit myself to my authority because that's what's going to be best for me and my future. But he didn't. He got ticked off. Want to tear stuff up. Wants to disobey Dad. We'll talk about that next week. Jacob, he went and got a wife where he was supposed to. Esau, he went over to Ishmael's house and got him one of them. How's that working out for us nowadays? Well, Isaac answered and said, indeed, I've made him your master. Tells him all this stuff. He gives him the authority. Esau said to his father, have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also. Oh, my father. And Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac, his father, answered and said to him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. Very same thing he told, pretty darn close to what he told Jacob just a little while ago. Why is that significant? Because the Father's blessing, according to the promise of God, said it was going to happen here. Going to happen here. The dew is going to come from heaven. But you're going to live off the fatness of the earth. That's the very promise that happened to Joshua when he walked into Canaan and God told him, he said, no longer is the manna going to come from heaven, but the earth is going to sustain you. You're going to live off the fatness of the earth. This is God's footstool right here. We've been trained for decades now that the earth is no place of God, that the earth is just a terrible place. Now listen, God created it. He set it up for you to be here. He set it up for seed time and harvest. He set it up for seasons. He put the moon. He put the stars. He put the sun. He put it in rotation. He made gravity. He made the universe. He made the ozone. He made the galaxies and all the things. He separated the expanse of the land with the water. He did it all. And then he placed man here to dwell so that we would find God here. Here. And not here, but here. That makes sense? Here. And he says, look, same promise, man. Said promise for every human. You don't have to be a believer in Jesus to live off the fatness of the land. The goats and the sheep will graze together right here in this earth. but by your sword you will live. You know what that means? Esau is going to be at war for the rest of his life. It's a constant battle the rest of his life. You know what that means? No peace. No peace.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message on Genesis chapter 27. And as always, we invite you to come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Mule Shoe Fellowship, and you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to listen to Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Mule Shoe Fellowship, God bless.